Always enjoy a good season of prayer. If you have your Bible, you can open to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy. We'll start in chapter 12, and then we'll just kind of move forward. I've got want to highlight a couple of things, and I'll point those things out to you. Deuteronomy chapter number 12. Deuteronomy chapter number 12. While you're finding your place there, you continue to pray, if you would, for Brother Ouellette, that God would have mercy on him and that his treatments would go well, and that God would see him safely to us for the meeting in September. That's the 18th through the 22nd. And we will be the first meeting after his treatments. And we're just asking God to just give him good health, to come through the treatments with strength, and that God would use this time to just refresh him and to just do a work in his heart. He's a good man of God. Many of you remember Brother Ouellette. You remember Brother Ouellette? Is anyone? Yeah, we remember Brother Ouellette. What a good man of God. What a great preacher. And he's been faithful all these years. Pastored the same church for over 40 years. And now he's doing evangelistic work. And he's just been a help to me as a pastor. And I believe I could say that he's been a help to us as a church. When you hear a man of God preach, it's a help to you if you'll just listen and just follow the scriptural advice that is given. All right, let's stand to our feet. You found your place there. We want to stand to our feet. I said open to Deuteronomy 12. Hold your place there. Turn a couple of pages over to chapter 14. This is where we're going to work up to. I want to speak to you tonight about this matter, all right? We've talked about the history. That's chapters 1 through 3. And then we've talked about the holiness. We'll close that out. That's chapters 4 through 12. And we'll begin this heritage. So we've gone from a backward look to history and an inward look to holiness. We're going to look at a forward work to heritage. God says, you're getting ready to go into a land. And it's very important the way you conduct your family, the way you conduct yourselves, and the way you conduct ministry in this new land, because there's a lot of people around you, the Canaanites, other nations, the people within that nationalities, within that nation, they don't know the Lord. And so you need to be really mindful of the importance of how you conduct yourselves in their presence. And we'll eventually work up to that. And this is what he said to remind them, the children of Israel, of this important fact. And as I read this, I thought, you know, God is so good to me. He's so good to us because he feels that way about you and I. Look in chapter 14 and verse number 1. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You are the children of the Lord your God. That's just a blessing. I'm glad I'm a child of God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. You say, what in the world? Well, we'll get to that when we get to that. All right? We will get to that tonight, the Lord willing. He's basically saying, don't mutilate yourself. Handle death differently than the lost handle death. We have a hope. Now, though we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And I've been to the funeral of saved men. I've been to the funeral of lost men. Can I tell you, there's a vast difference. And God said here, he said, you conduct yourself in life the way that you will in death so that they can see you live well, but you die well too. Amen. Amen. Then he said in verse number 2, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. What is God saying here? Well, God's saying, you're special to me. You're special. You're my children. You're holy. You're set apart. You're peculiar. That doesn't mean odd. That just means you're a prize. You're a prize to me. You're special to me. Can I tell you, you're special to God. As God's people, we're special to him. And he has expectations of us to conduct ourselves in a way that people would know, That's a special person right there. Not because of how much they know, but because of who they know. And I want to talk to you about that. We'll get up to that point. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the truths that are in these pages. Even this book of Deuteronomy. What a wonderful study. And as we look into the Old Testament, I pray tonight you would help us to look into your Old Testament writing with New Testament glasses on, that we could somehow see the revelation of the truths that are concealed in these Old Testament truths that are revealed in the New Testament for we who are saved by your amazing grace. And so I pray you would enlighten our minds and our hearts, that we could take the truths that we will discuss tonight and bring them current into our day, and to know that we too, as the body of Christ, even as Israel was as a nation, we are special to you. And I pray that we would leave with that thought fixed in our hearts. You're a special God, and we're special to you. Help us now. Help me to relate this truth to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Let's talk about this some. We're going to go back to chapter 12, because when we last met on Wednesday night, we talked through chapter number 11, 10 and 11, and we talked about things of obeying the law and breaking the law and the consequences, the reward for obeying, the consequences for breaking, and how important it is to live the Christian life. It's very important. It's very important it was for the children of Israel to understand that God gave His law to serve as a guideline for them for their life, so that when they went into the land, He keeps mentioning that. As a matter of fact, if you want to do a good study, just look at all the times in the book of Deuteronomy God says, when you get into the land, when you get into the land, when you get into the land. In other words, when you get to the land that I have given you, the land of promise, I want you to conduct yourself a certain way, because there's going to be people that's going to be watching you. They're going to be observing you. So as they are observing you, I want you to observe my commandments, so that when they observe you, they can get a good picture of who I am. That's why God said what He said. When you get in that land, I want you to observe my law, so that those people that do not observe my law, as they are observing you, they will see a little bit of who I am. Can I tell you that's the way it is today as born-again children of God? Paul put it this way. He said, you are written epistles in our hearts, known and read of all men. See, there's a lot of people who won't pick up the Bible and read it. But now when you tell people you're a Christian, they're going to start reading your life. They're going to start reading my life, and they want to see what a Christian lives like, how a Christian responds to certain things, how a Christian conducts themselves. And so that's what this section's about. Now we're getting ready to move into a completely different new section. We're getting ready to move from holiness to heritage. How that God said, I expect you to conduct yourself a certain way, into why I expect you to conduct yourself that way. So back in chapter 12, I just want to highlight a few things to get to chapter 14. I just want to highlight a few things. Very important. I want you to go back to chapter 12 and notice how the chapter starts off. These are the statutes and the judgments which ye shall observe, here it is, to do in the land. You'll just keep reading that, all right? God will just keep telling them. Hey, you're getting ready to go into some permanency. The wilderness wanders are coming to a close. The years of wandering around in the wilderness are coming to an end. You're getting ready to go where there's nations and there's people and there's idolatry and there's people, they're pagan, they're serving other gods, and you're getting ready to go into this land, and I want you to be prepared when you go into this land to represent me in a certain way. And so I'm giving you some truth so that when you get into that land, it'll not only help you to be a testimony to them, but it'll help you to live the life. Remember, we talked about that some last week. Living the life. The life that God intends for every person to live, which is the good life, right? It's the good life. See, some people think that God is a killjoy, and that's a lie of the devil. God's not a killjoy. God doesn't kill joy. He fulfills joy. You remember that now. God fulfills joy. The devil's a killjoy, right? The devil will kill your joy, but God will fulfill it. And so don't you let the devil lie to you now and tell you, well, now, if you do that, if you do what the Bible says, you won't be happy. It's the only way to be happy. And so he said, these are some statutes and judgments that I want you to observe to do in the land which the Lord thy God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Now, he said, I want to talk to you about worship, because worship is the most important thing we do in life. Now, please hear me what I'm getting ready to say. I'm not saying attend church. There's people who attend church all the time. They never worship. I will say this. When you attend church, you ought to worship. Amen. He said, I want to talk to you about worship. When you come to church, do you worship? I pray to God that you do. You should. You can. It's a choice. You get to choose if you're going to worship God in church. Some people are so caught up in what other people around them are doing, they can't even get their eyes fixed on God to worship God. That's the reason you came, to worship God. So don't you let somebody distract you now from worshiping God. Amen. You come to the house of God to worship the God of His house. Worship God. It's the most important thing that you'll do in this life, is to worship God. Now, I've told you, there's three, I think they're the most important things in life. Number one, the God that you worship. Number two, the person that you marry. Say, that's not important. It's not? You need to come see me. I need to talk to you. It is very important who you marry. You know why? Because the Bible says they twain shall be one flesh. That's right. So it's important who you marry. And then number three, who ye befriend. So your God, your wife, and your friends are very important in life. And sometimes we've taken those top three and we put them down somewhere toward the bottom ten, and that's not good. We do not approach these three very, very important things in life as importantly as we need to. So I want to encourage you now. Teach your children. Live your life knowing the God that you worship, the person that you marry, and the people that you surround yourself with that you call friends are the three most important things in life. They're very important. Now, I'm not saying there's not other important things, but if you find something more important than those, you come see me. I may change my mind. But as I study the Scripture, I see where God places a large emphasis on these things. Now, he said, I want to talk to you about worship. He said, there's some things you should do and some things you shouldn't. All right? And I want to point them out to you. Now, I want you to understand, you're going to have to put your New Testament glasses on. All right? This is Old Testament. And so I'm not going to go into detail. You know that Old Testament worship was different than New Testament worship. But I do want you to see that God doesn't change His standard when it comes to worship. Notice what He said. Let's look at verse number 5. We'll look at, first of all, what He said you ought to do. Look at verse number 5. He said this, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto this habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. He said, when God says, this is where I want you to meet, and this is where I'm going to meet with you, you need to get down there. That's what He's saying. Amen. If it's the tabernacle, get down to the tabernacle. If it's the temple, get down to the temple. If it's the synagogue, get down to the synagogue. You know where it is today? The church. Amen. He said, you get down there. Now, I want you to notice just a couple things about this, okay? Look at verse number 5. But into the place. Now, the reason I point that out, if you'll look at verse number 2, he says, ye shall utterly destroy all the, what? Places. See, these heathens, these pagans, they had many places, and God said, nope. I'm going to show you what God said do to those places. He said, I don't want you doing it like they do it. As a matter of fact, he come right out and said it, verse number 4. Look at it, verse 4. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. Don't you do it the way they do it. When you get in that land, you're going to see the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Girgashites and all those other folks that are inhabiting that land that are pagan, you're going to see that they have high groves, and you're going to see they do idol worship, and you're going to see the way they do it. Don't you do it the way they do it. That's what he said. I don't want that done. I don't want you gyrating. I don't want you chanting. Amen. I don't want you jiggling. I'm bringing it to today's vernacular. I don't want dry ice and colored lights. Amen. I don't want entertainment. Worship. Worship. The house of God is not a place of entertainment. It's a place of worship. Reverence. Amen. Yes. God said, don't you do it the way the world does it. Don't you do it the way they do it. They have their gods. He said, and I want you to read this now. He said, they'll try to come to you, and they'll try to get you to do it their way. He said, don't you let them talk you into doing it their way. You do it the way I said do it. As a matter of fact, I want you to notice in verse number 5 what God said. But unto the place, look at this now, which the Lord your God shall choose. Right? No, you... Well, preacher, we're just going to worship according to the dictates of our heart. We're going to go out in the field and worship God. Well, you can do that. But now when the people are meeting out at the house of God, that's where God expects you to be. Amen. And see, we're living in a day where people say, well, you know, to each their own. Can I tell you the Bible nowhere teaches that? As a matter of fact, when each done which was right in their own eyes, there was total chaos. Read the book of Judges. When every man did that which was right in his own eyes, there was total chaos. And so don't you buy into that lie now. Well, times are changing, preacher. God's not. Amen. That's right. God's not changing. As a matter of fact, he made it very clear. I am the Lord God of Jacob. I change not. Is that right, brethren? Yeah. And so he said, now don't you do it like the world does it. And brethren, as long as I'm the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church, we're not going to be having these services like the world's having them. Calling them church. Not going to do it. As a matter of fact, God said in verse number 2, he said, you shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods. He said, we don't want to do it the way they do it. As a matter of fact, he said, I want you to destroy those places. God said, I detest that. There's a lot of things done in our country today. There's a lot of things done around the world in the name of God that God is very displeased with. That's right. When people get up and wiggle and jiggle in the name of worship, that's not of God, brethren. That's not of God. I just want you to know. And so you say, well, preacher, that's your opinion. Well, you study the scripture and you'll find that that's not my opinion at all. That's God's truth. God doesn't expect us to come here. As a matter of fact, when people got to wiggling and jiggling down at the local churches, the Apostle Paul went down there and set them straight. He said, you're acting like the temple prostitutes. And he said, you need to cut that stuff out. He said, as such were some of you. We've moved on from that. And that's why here it says, I want you to go in, I want you to overthrow. Let's read verse 2 and 3. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. He said, I want it done away with. Look at verse 3. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire, and you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. He said, I do not want you doing it the way they do it. Don't think you get any clearer than that. Don't want you doing it the way they do it. You say, well, what's the right way? Well, reverence. Reverence. I think Nehemiah 8 gives us a really good model of the way church is to be conducted. Read the scripture. When you study Paul's missionary journeys, read the scripture. When you know, Paul told Timothy, hey, Timothy, as the pastor of Ephesus, what's Timothy to do? Did Paul say, Timothy, I want you to get up and tell jokes. Tell them jokes. Endless genealogies. That's what they need. Current events. Read them the hot latest book off the press from out California. He said, Timothy, you preach the word. Amen? You preach the word of God, Timothy. You leave all that other stuff, those endless genealogies, those fables, those things that men will heap to themselves, having itching ears. He said, listen, you leave that stuff alone. You preach the word. And brother, that's what we're after. That's what we're seeking. We want to preach the word. We want music that uplifts the name of Jesus. That's right. Now, I realize there's different preferences. There's a lot of different preferences. Some folks in the congregation love bluegrass. I like bluegrass music, okay? I do. As a matter of fact, I think it's time to start up a bluegrass band.
Amen.
What do you think, Brother Terry? Amen. We had one going, and then COVID hit. That's right. I'd like to see it get started back up. Some folks think, well, Pastor Freeman, he doesn't like bluegrass music. You don't know me. I'm amazing how folks think they know me. I like bluegrass music, but I want it to be God-honoring, you see. That's right. I like choral music. People say, well, we don't have a choir. I don't think the pastor likes choir. Well, I love choral music. I love choir music. I love orchestrated music. I can go with the wind section and the brass section, with the string section, or I can go with, listen, we can get out the harmonica and the banjo. That's right. If it's God-honoring, I'm in for it. That's right. Music that's honoring to the Lord. Preaching from the Bible. Things done decently and in order. Praise that comes from the Bible. That's right. Saying amen.
Amen.
Saying hallelujah. Those are good Bible words. Lifting your hands before the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. And so he said, I want to talk to you. There's just a way that you ought to do it, and there's a way that, don't you fall into the trap now of the way that some folks are trying to take the church down. That road that the church is trying to be steered down to where they leave everything sacred and they cater to the flesh. He said, be careful. Now, I know this is Old Testament, and I understand what I just read to you, and I understand that that's not exactly what he's saying as far as New Testament worship, but what he is saying is I have guidelines and standards for worship. There's a way I want it done, and there's a way that I don't want it done. Can I tell you that God hasn't changed, and that's still the way he is? That's chapter number 13, or 12, I'm sorry. Now, there's more. There's more there. He basically is saying, please me and not man. You know, if you're not careful, and I'm just speaking to you from my heart, okay? If we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll begin to put together like an order of service. Now, I want you to think about this, all right? And maybe you do this. Say you're getting ready to invite somebody to come to church. And you're thinking, well, I hope the service is this way or that way or this way. If we're not careful, and there's a lot of this going on in our world today, brethren, a lot of it. Seeker-friendly churches. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I use that term? Seeker-friendly churches. I'm not interested in seeker-friendly. I'm interested in spirit-friendly. Yeah. See, I'm not interested in pleasing you. I'm interested in pleasing him. And when you get that way, and you get that way, and you get that way, and I get that way, God can begin to move and get some work done. When we start trying to please lost people, now listen, lost people, in church services, trying to meet them. Well, they like this and they like that. Well, listen, it doesn't matter what they like. It's what they need. They need to hear plain, unadulterated, powerful, spirit-filled truth that will convict their hearts of sin. And they need to realize that Jesus loves them and that he died for them and that he rose again from the grave. And if by faith they will trust what he's done for them, they can be saved in his grace. That's what they need. Not for us to try to put together a service that they're going to leave and say, that was fun. Man, that was just like the concert I went to last night. Wow. What have you done for them? Nothing. Maybe hardened their heart and realized, well, I don't need to get up Sunday and go to church. I could just find the nearest concert to go to on Saturday. See, God said, I want you to be different. We'll get to that in just a moment. So he said, number one, all right? He said, there's a right way and a wrong way, and God hasn't changed. There's still a right way and a wrong way. Now, there's a lot of room for flexibility in that right way. Not everyone's going to do it exactly the same. So don't misunderstand what your preacher's saying now. I'm not saying that everyone that doesn't do it like Fellowship Baptist Church is doing it wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying there's a right way and a wrong way. And we want to come down on the right side of this. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Chapter 13. Then he gets into this. He said, since we're talking about worship, he said, if there arise among you a prophet, you see verse 1 of chapter 13, he said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them together, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. So what's he saying? He said, well, there's a right way and a wrong way to worship. There's a right way and a wrong way to preach. There's a right way and a wrong way to have speakers to come in and speak to you. And so I want to just give you a warning here, okay? Be careful. This is for all of us. Be careful who you get your teaching and your doctrine from. Not everyone that totes a Bible and has the title of preacher is of God. Amen. So he just said, be careful. He said, learn. He said, listen, this guy here, he's a smooth talker. You see, what is Moses saying here? He said, these people are shysters. They're charlatans. Amen. They're frauds. They can paint a beautiful picture. They can make you, listen, they'll have you eating out of the palm of their hand, and then they'll be reaching into the depths of your pocket. That's what he said. He said, you be careful. He said, they'll bring wonders and verse number one, they'll give signs and wonders. You see that? And he said, you know what'll happen? They'll give a sign or a wonder. Look at verse 2. And he said, it will come to pass. Don't you think, oh, they must be of God. You know? They must be of God. Listen, I'm going to throw something on you here tonight. You know, the devil can do signs and wonders. Amen. Don't you go by no sign or wonder. Don't you let somebody do a sign or wonder and pull you away from truth. Everything that we as Christians adapt to and accept must be gauged through the Word of God. Amen. Stay with the book, brethren. Whether I'm your pastor or the next man's your pastor, stay with the book. Stay with the book. You'll never go wrong staying with the book. Never go wrong. Now, when I make that statement, sometimes people come up to me and say, Pastor, you getting ready to leave? Well, no, I'm happy here. But, you know, I could God could call me home to heaven before I make it home tonight. He said, oh, you're just kidding. Well, I hope so, but I'm not. I'm ready, I'll tell you that. Don't you stand over my coffin and say, well, poor old Pastor Freeman. No, I'll be in heaven, amen. I'll be in heaven. I don't know when that's going to happen. But some of you is going to outlive me, except Jesus come. And if you do and you have the next pastor, you bring your Bible and you make sure that you prove all things through this book right here. I've had some folks tell me through the years, well, you know, I agree with most of what Fellowship Baptist Church does. Well, listen, if you don't agree with things that we do that because it's not biblical, I'm not talking about preference, because it's not biblical, I have an open door policy. You come to me and say, Pastor, I think we're missing the mark on this one. I'll listen to you. I want to do all things by this book right here. I want to do it all by this book. And I believe you do. And I just want us to continue to go down that road, because that is the place, that is the way that God will bless, brethren. God will bless things done the way of the Word. And so he said, when you have a prophet now, you be careful. There's a lot of false prophets out there, all right? And there's a lot of media access. There's a lot of things now. And so be real careful who you listen to, what you accept as Bible truth, and where you get your doctrine from. It's really important. Check it by this book right here. And that's basically what Moses is saying. He's saying, you be careful. I want to just, before I leave this and get to my main thought before I close tonight, God said in verse number 8 of chapter 13, he said, they'll be these prophets. They'll influence people in verse number 6 of chapter 13. Look at it. They'll influence people, and thy brother and the son of thy mother or thy son or thy daughter or the wife of thy bosom or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, nor should your eye pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. He said, so you be careful. There'll be people coming along and you'll think highly of them. And they'll be trying to pull you to the side. They'll be trying to pull you off course. Isn't that what he said? As it was in the days of these folks, you mark my word, I've been doing this a long, long time. All right? About 35 years I've been dealing with people in pastoral ministry. And there will be people that will try to pull you to the side. They will try to get you off on some tangent. They will try to tell you all kinds of stuff. And I'm just going to go ahead and expose a lie while I'm here right now. Okay? There's a big lie going around in churches today, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. All right? I'm on the lookout for it. I am. It's a big lie. And there are many preachers taking it in. They think it's great. I think it's a lie of hell, and I'm going to share it with you. You ready? There's many names for it. It could be election of grace. It could be predestination. It could be sovereign grace. It could be Calvinism. It could be the tulip theory. The list could go on, okay? But I want you to hear your pastor well tonight now. No matter what they call it, it's just a lie wrapped up in a new name. It's a lie. Jesus Christ died for the sin of the whole world. Are you listening? Jesus didn't die for a select few people. Anybody that believed that doesn't even know how to study the Bible. They're leaving parts out. They've read some book by a man. I'm not interested in what John Calvin believed. I'm interested in what God wrote. And God wrote that he so loved the world. He spoke it from his son's mouth, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So don't you believe that lie. Don't you believe that lie. Well, I hope I'm one of the chosen. What a terrible way. What a terrible message. Could you imagine Paul saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, if the gospel didn't include everyone? Could you imagine him? I'd be ashamed of a message like that. I got a great message to proclaim, but it's not for everybody now. That's not a great message. And so, you be careful now. I need to be careful. We need to be careful. The devil is very deceitful. And he tries to dress up lies, and he's been doing it all along. Calvinism is a lie of hell. I don't care how well a person could speak. I don't care how. Listen, does it matter? It matters not how educated they may sound. They're off from what this book teaches. I don't care how many doctor's degrees they have. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Doesn't matter. It doesn't line up with this book. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Oh, I want you to know that. Not because the preacher said it. I could give you this, and I could quote you 20 scriptures right now that refutes Calvinism. 20. Just like that. Just like that. You ought to be able to do it. Why? Because you ought to believe what I just told you because the Bible teaches it, not because your preacher told you. And that's what he's saying. He's saying here, listen, a man may say something. He may do a sign or a wonder, and he may really wow you. But now don't you fall for the wow. You check it by the word. Is that right, brethren? Every time. Every time. Now, let's get to this, and I'll be through. Just going to give you some things. I'm interested in getting into this 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter with you. There's a lot of great truth here. But I want you to leave tonight knowing this. We all need to work on our worship. We all need to work on it. See, I want to worship God more. I want to worship him better. And you may not. I'm just telling you about me, okay? I'm telling you about me. I want to worship God more. I want to worship him in a better way. I want to do it in a way that he is so deserving. I don't know that I'll ever do. I need God's help in order to do that. I need God to help me to worship him in a way that he deserves to be worshiped. And so I want God to help me. I just want to worship God in the beauty of his holiness. I mean that with every fiber of my being. I just want to worship him the way that I fully in my heart believe he deserves to be worshiped. And I believe he desires to be worshiped this way too. So I want God to help me in my worship. Then I want God to help me here. I have prayed for years. Listen, as a preacher of the gospel, I've said, God, keep me straight. I don't want to preach anything that's not in your word. God, don't let me preach anything that's contrary to your word. Help me to stay straight now in my study. Help me to stay straight in my theology. I don't want to get outside of this book. Listen, I can't preach like some preachers can preach, and I can't say it the way they can say it. They're them, I'm me. But I can stay straight, and God, help me to stay straight. I just want to stay straight. I just want to preach your word, and I just want to do it in a way that most magnifies you. I just want to stay true to the word of God. And I pray that you would pray that prayer too. God, help me to stay straight now on what I believe, and help me to stay in the book and to line up with what your word teaches. And as you reveal truth to me, God, help me to apply it to my life. Yeah. You say, preacher, I haven't had any truth revealed to me recently. Well, have you applied the recent truth? The previous truth, I should say? Have you applied the previous truth? See, if you're not applying truth, you're not going to get new truth. Please hear me now. Please. There are folks that think God's just going to keep revealing and revealing and revealing. I'm telling you now, the Bible teaches that God will give you light. And God will give you light up to a certain point, and then you've got to accept that light and walk in that light as he is in that light. And as you do, then God will give you light for the next place. See, God will give you light on down the path, but now you've got to walk in that light you've been given. We must apply the truth that God has given for God to give us additional truth. So please, if God's given you truth and you've just set it off thinking, well, I don't want that truth. God, give me some other truth. No, God said, you apply the truth I've given you, and then you'll get some new truth. Amen. That's the reason a lot of folks, now, folks, listen to me. I think I might have hit a spot right there. Not trying to indict anyone. I just want you to know something. There's a lot of folks that have kind of stalled out in their Christian experience, in their spiritual growth. I don't want you to stall out. God doesn't want you to stall out. God wants us to continually be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to continually be growing, right? And in order to do that, we've got to apply the truth. You can't pick and choose what truth you want to apply. When God gives you truth, you must apply it before God's going to give you more truth. And when we begin to apply the truth that God has given us, there will be new revelations, there will be new truth from God's word that he will reveal and unfold to us, and we will begin to feed on the word of God again. That's when the feeding gets good, when it's fresh manna. Amen. Some folks still trying to push away the previous manna. God said, no, you're going to eat that, and then I'll give you some fresh. All right, so I want to worship right. I want my theology to be right. Why? Because God said, you're special to me. Let me give you a few thoughts on this and I'll be done tonight. Ye are the children of God, of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves or make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. You know, there is a little humor to that, but it's not. I mean, you know, he's just basically saying don't shave your eyebrows. You know, what people call, I don't know, what's that called, right? That's called something there. Some of you do it. Some of you shave it here. What's that called? What's it called? Unibrow. Unibrow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the old unibrow. And you know what? Some people have it. They shave it. But what God is saying here is this. I want you to listen to me. He's saying pagans, people outside of belief in the God of heaven, do not deal with adversity well. In particular, death. And so he said, I don't want you to be like these people. You're going into a land. And don't forget, it all goes back into the land you're going to inherit. You're going into a land, there's a lot of pagans around you. If you've never read about the gods of the Canaanites, I encourage you now. Listen, you read about the god of the Egyptians and the god of the Canaanites, these people worshipped anything and everything. They worshipped animals, they worshipped insects, they worshipped water, they worshipped fishes, but you know what? It's still around today. There's people that worship cows. I'm not saying that. Listen, I hate that. That makes me sad in my heart. There's people that worship animals. Listen, you kill a baby and people will get them clapped. You kill an animal, they'll throw you in jail for 25 years. Now you tell me what's wrong. Am I right? I'm just stating the truth. I'm just stating the truth. There's people that worship, they worship man. There's people that worship man. There's people that worship money. There's people that worship sex. There's people that worship work. There's people that worship themselves. Paul said it would be that way. He did. And he said, I want you to know you're not that way. I've changed you. He said in verse number 1, he said, "You, I don't want you cutting yourselves or shaving yourself when adversity comes, in particular in the way of death. How are you going to handle death? You say, well, preacher, when somebody you love passes, it bothers you, doesn't it? You better believe it does. I've had a lot of people in my family to pass on. And it hurts, brethren. So don't you think the preacher standing up here minimizing the death of a loved one. I am not minimizing that. But I am saying, I am here to testify that the grace of God was sufficient in every single one of those instances. And I bless his holy name for it. And when God tells me he loves me, all I have to do is think how he's helped me. And I know, you know, God, he does love me. He constantly meets my needs. He fellowships with me. He strengthens me. He's my refuge and my strength in the time of trouble. I think it was John Wesley. People were giving him a hard time. You know, Charles and John Wesley, they were the founders with George Whitefield. They were the founders of Methodism, the Methodist Church. And I mean, those men lived holy, brethren. We're going to get to that in a moment. They lived holy. And people gave him a hard time about it. They said, you know, you Methodists, man, you're crazy. They thought they were crazy because they had standards. They believed in doing things a certain way. And I mean, they took the world by storm. God was all over their life. And they said, the word, you know, just constantly people saying, you people are nuts. You people live such a way. And I forgot which one it was. You ought to look this up. One of them, it was either John or Charles Wesley, said, yeah, but we die well. Can I tell you, Christians die well. Christians know how to approach death. People of God know that death is not the end. Amen. I am so thankful that God has taught me death is not the end, brethren. It's not the end. Now, we sorrow. And I don't want to see anyone in my family pass. I know where they're going if they're saved. And yet, I understand that we sorrow, but we do not sorrow as others which have no hope. I am so thankful that I am not helpless. I am so thankful that I am not hopeless. We have a hope that is steadfast and sure. And that is because Christ rose, we too shall rise in his likeness. And he said right here, he said, you're special. You're my people. And because you're my people, this is what I have for you. I have some things for you. Look at verse number 2. He said, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. He said, you're holy. You're separated. You're different. Right? You're different. That's what the word holy. You're sanctified. You're separated. You're set apart. You're holy. You live a certain way. I have expectations for you. Then he said this in verse number 2, he said, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. You're special to me. You're not just any people. Rather, when you say you're a Christian, now this is Old Testament. This is the nation of Israel. We're going to fast forward into this age, this dispensation of time. We call ourselves by the name of Christ. That means something. We're special. God said, I have expectations of you. You're special? Be special. Right? What's God saying here to these people? Be what you are. I'm going to close with this. Be what you are. You say, what is that, preacher? You're special. Be special. Be special. Treat people special. Right? Special people don't treat people the way they've been treated. Special people treat people the way they would want to be treated. We do unto others as we would have them do unto us, not as they do unto us. That's what any old people do. Special people do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Amen. Special people do things differently. We're special. Right? Special people come to the house of God when the doors are open. Not everyone does that. Special people do. Special people want to tell people about Jesus because Jesus is who made me special. And so I want to tell people about this special Savior that made me special, that calls me special. I want to do something for Him. I want to do something for them. I want them to know my special Savior. We're holy. Are you holy? Be holy. Be what you are. God said, this is who you are. Be what you are. You're special, be special. You're holy, be holy. Are you holy? Are you trying to be? Is it your intent to be? Do you think about it? Are you asking God to help you to be? We need to think about holiness. God is concerned about holiness. Amen. God wants me to live my life above reproach. God wants me to do right. By the way, He wants you to do right too. You're holy. Be holy. And then finally, as we stand, you're peculiar. Be peculiar. What's that mean? Well, it kind of means that you're precious. You're different. You shouldn't be like everyone around you. In case you're in church, on your job, you should stand out. You should be the hardest worker on your job. You're a Christian. You should be the most honest person down at the workplace. Amen. People ought to say, that fellow over there, he's honest. That young lady right there, she's kind. See, we ought to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We're special. So all he's saying here is just be who you are so that when you go into that land over there, people will know you're different. Do people know you're different? Now somebody's going to get angry. I mean, I don't mean this to make you angry, because if you want to have a t-shirt that says I'm a Christian, get you a t-shirt that says I'm a Christian. But if you have to constantly be telling people that you're a Christian, something's not working. If you're around people enough, they ought to know you're different. I need you to tell me what it is with you. What is it with you? There's something different about you. I'm glad you asked. I'm born again. I got saved by the grace of God. And any good you see in me, I just want you to know it's not me, but it's Him that lives in me. It's my Savior. And He gets all the glory. Amen? Let's bow our heads together. I'm glad we are the children of God by faith. We're special.